and welcome to Sister Magic. This is Chandra.
And I am the Pisces.
And that is Kayla.
No, Chandra, I am the Pisces.
You are the Pisces.
That is true. All that I am.
That is your sole identification for
pretty
today.
Much for me. When you're a double Pisces, you are just pretty much nothing.
You are just all Pisces all of the time. So, in case you couldn't tell, Kayla and I had birth charts done, finally. I feel like I need to start with, like, the full honesty on my saltiness towards astrology.
Hey, go for it. I'm here.
I mean, I've been super skeptical, mm-hmm. especially throughout the life of this podcast, mm-hmm. on astrology. I think I've found it pretty unsatisfying in the past.
Sure.
And I still have a lot of questions that need to be answered, but this experience of having a birth chart done, and by someone who I do actually trust, mm-hmm. Has really helped my attitude a bit.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I see a lot in this birth chart that is pretty incredible from any standpoint, yeah. right? Yeah. I have come to a place where I am now ready to learn. That's what I'm trying to say.
She's crossed over the aisle. She's not necessarily fully on board yet, but I think she's in the what are they what's the hallway thing called in between the airport and the airplane? To just the hallway.
Yeah.
I thought there was a name for it.
There is a name for it. I just don't know what it is.
The ramp?
The hallway thing. We're just going to call it the hallway. It could be ramp. You could be right.
Chandra's on the ramp to astrology.
Yes. Yes, I am. I mean, I'm definitely still coming at this from a skeptical place.
Sure.
But that is in the chart. Guys, it's supposed to be there.
You made me wheeze.
You're welcome. All right. What were your reactions to getting your chart back?
Well, I've kind of always been a little bit more leaning into this than I think you have.
Yes, you have.
But what I saw, while it wasn't a huge shock or surprise, it was all very accurate to the way that I feel and experience
right.
my world.
Right.
Both internally awesome. And externally. So it was kind of like, whoa.
Right. You know? Right.
Cool.
So, birth charts. Everyone, birth charts.
All right. So, the way that mine is laid out, and yours is probably yes. the same way, I have the big picture, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And then I have the focus points. And I have the nitty-gritty.
Yes.
And I have... that's the end. And then we go to, like, details in each of those.
Right.
So, I think first up, maybe we should introduce... the person who was reading our charts for us.
Right.
And give their background.
Yeah. So Roxanne is her name. Roxanne Benefield.
Love her.
Hoping I'm saying her last name correctly. I'm not sure I've ever heard it said out loud. Okay. Roxanne says, what's different about my astro practice from others is that I'm coming at it from 20 years of slow and steady learning, and I use my intuitive abilities to extract specific messages from the individual chart for each specific person. I am currently getting certified in electional astrology and will be offering that soon as well.
Ooh.
So, I mean, yeah, like she says, Roxy has a pretty long history with doing birth charts mm-hmm. in general. She's just now started to do it for money. And she popped up on my Facebook, and this is a friend of mine, mm-hmm. saying that she was now, like, offering that service for anyone who was willing. And I jumped right on it because I was like, I had researched several different astrologers.
Yeah.
And not to say that there was anything wrong with them, but I always have this question of, like, that's a lot of money to give someone I'm not super sure about.
Yeah.
And with Roxanne, I'm sure that, you know, I'm going to get my money's worth.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not just tossing money into the wind. So, I highly trust Roxanne, and I'm very impressed with what she gave us back.
Yes.
So I will be putting a link to her site in the show notes for anyone who would like to go get their charts done by her.
Yes.
She is charging $250 for the reading. Astrology readings are fairly pricey mm-hmm. for everyone, you know, That's actually a very reasonable price from the research that I have done. She also offers discounts to BIPOC and queer people. So
love that.
Yeah. That will be in the show notes.
Yes.
Please, if you're at all interested, go find her. She is very good.
Definitely.
If you want to do yours first.
Yeah, sure. When she reached out to me to get my questions or like my baseline in order to give all this, she asked like what I wanted her to focus on. And since we were doing a kind of a life's purpose chart, this isn't necessarily like a full blown like everything chart. We're focusing on one area of the life, right?
Right.
This was my life's purpose chart, and I wanted to know kind of what I was meant to be doing with my life, because that's always been kind of a question hanging over my head.
Okay.
Of like, why? What am I supposed to be doing? Why am I here? Right.
Yes.
Boy, did she figure that out.
She found the answer.
She found it. And it's really kind of funny because my life's purpose, according to all of this, is exactly what we're doing right here. My chart is very heavily focused in esoteric and metaphysical sciences and arts.
Right.
And I love that she says here that I have many unique relationships and aspects in my chart that indicate one of my major gifts is digging under the surface to extract the truth for the greater good. Through things considered dark or metaphysical. Or mystical. Yeah. I loved it. I loved it so much.
I feel like there needs to be a caveat here.
Okay.
Roxanne did not know we had a podcast.
Yes. That is also very important to know.
I feel like that's important to say.
She knew. So come into this. She knew nothing about me.
No. Never met you.
Not a damn thing. She didn't know I identify as a witch. She didn't know any of this going into it. Like, even in the things that I told her prior to, I did not say anything about that. I just said, I want to know what my goal is, what my life's, you know, where I should be taking my life and how to get there. So for her to get that without knowing this.
Yeah.
Phew, mind blown, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. I have similar feelings.
Yeah. Yes. And then she says here that on the other hand, I have a tendency to be self-sacrificing and helpful to a fault. So that check. Yeah. And that I have a lot of potential to, or a lot in my chart points to a potential to be a leader.
Ooh. Okay.
However, I have an opposing force of self-doubt, which we also see.
That one is accurate.
Yes. And I think this is my favorite sentence in the entire chart, is it seems you shine brightest when you can conjure your confidence and use your skills to relate to others.
Oh.
And how incredibly fucking accurate. True is that?
Like, yes, very true.
It's and then, so we go to the next section, or the next part of this, and she says that I am highly relatable. However, I also have to learn how to assert myself in leadership positions so that I'm not taken advantage of.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that she provided here, the last the paragraph is, overall, there's an air of mastery in the mystical. If you can support yourself in finding ways to both focus on developing your own ideas within those subjects and practicing your leadership skills through relating to others, you can do great things and leave the world a better place. And she says, in many cases, it's hard to say exactly what a person is meant to do, but in your case, it seems pretty clear. And this is fascinating. So that's is my awesome. Big picture.
That is awesome. I love that.
Right? It made me happy. Let's pop over to your big picture.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to do back and forth kind of a situation.
So although I know Roxy, I mean, we're acquaintances, we're not super close. So she knows I'm a drag king. I think that's really the biggest detail about my life that she actually had. And so there's a couple notes about that in here. But I wrote her a whole email later.
Perfect.
Just to let her know how much everything hit in all these other places in my life that she had no idea about, right? So, okay, big picture stuff. In my email to her, I kind of let her know that I'm being pulled in several, like, creative directions, and I'm not real sure which ones I should be putting my energy into, and that I'm really strongly trying to connect with community, and still kind of struggling with where that community is, right?
Right.
So that was kind of what she was focusing on in my chart.
Perfect.
She says, "You are someone who cares deeply for your communities and loved ones and would do almost anything for them. Mm-hmm. You are extremely intuitive and sensitive, so you need to make sure that you are getting your solitude and recharge time to regain strength." "You need to make sure you aren't so self-sacrificing that you let people walk all over you. Mm-hmm. There is a lot about learning how to assert yourself and not lose yourself to the comfort of those around you, no matter how much you care."
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. "You are an eccentric communicator with many, many ideas." "The way this looks to me is that you have so many ideas and things that you want to explore, learn, and tell stories about, that it's hard to narrow down and pick one path at a time."
Uh-huh.
"I say, why should you have to pick one path at a time? If having many interests and learning many things excites you, follow it."
Oh. I love that.
I know. It's just, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
This last little bit here. "A lot of things in your chart also point toward humanitarianism and social justice."
Yep.
"Speaking of finding community and meaning, here you go. You have the essence of someone who can be of great support to communities in need."
Oh.
Yeah.
I love that.
Was an awesome way to start the chart.
An eccentric... an eccentric communicator?
Communicator. Yes, that with many, many ideas.
It's amazing. I mean,
well put.
When you look at Chandra, we have drag queen, or drag king, novelist, and witchy podcaster. That's witchy a pretty podcaster. Eccentric communicator.
Uh-huh. Yes, exactly.
All of these
all
things
the baskets.
Are very, very focused in communication to others.
Exactly.
With eccentricity?
Eccentricity, yes. Cool. And apparently, I don't have to choose a basket.
Nope.
I get to keep all of the baskets.
You get to keep all of them. Just make sure that you're not overfilling each one.
Yes.
And take exactly. a step back.
Very well done. Yes. Very well said.
Very, very well.
On to the focus points then.
Focus points.
Okay.
Okay. So she says with my chart, she looked at the career house and my north and south nodes to find out.
Same here.
Okay. Perfect. What I was meant to be doing, right?
And then I have a fourth one on a stellium.
Ooh, that's cool.
I can go into that later.
Yes. Okay. So my career house is ruled by Sagittarius.
Ooh.
And the first two words in this paragraph are optimistic and hardworking.
Ooh. Okay. Yes, I can see that.
It says that people with their 10th house career says that, with their 10th house in Sagittarius want to have a career that they care about, may look uh-huh. to traveling. Or being far from where you were raised.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
Your public image and professionalism lie in exploring your talents and adventure-seeking ways. But your adventurous spirit can have you doing many different things at once.
Yep.
I love that. And she says that, you shine the most when you're sharing knowledge with others, and others flock to you because of your wisdom and truth-seeking nature. People trust you, and they should. I love that.
It's very true, Kayla.
Right?
Incredibly on point.
It makes me happy.
Yep.
And I love this too, because this is very, very me. So she points out that I have no planets in my 10th house on my chart at all.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And that points to having a disinterest in achieving the highest accolades in my career.
You're not a social climber.
Very true. But on the other side of that, it's because my achievements are outside of what I do as a quote-unquote job, right? It's uh-huh. my extracurriculars where I get my achievements from, like exactly. this podcast and my uh-huh. cosplay and everything else that I have a job to afford to be able to do.
Exactly.
And that's amazing.
Yep.
I've never been so accurately read.
So good. Yes. It's so good.
So that's my 10th house, ruled by Sagittarius.
Love it.
And then my nodes.
The nodes.
My nodes. So she points out in my chart that the North Node is essentially your karmic destiny.
Uh-huh.
Meaning the path that must be followed to true happiness and fulfillment.
Right.
What I've got, my North Node in the 9th house, to do with learning, teaching, and communicating knowledge. But my 9th house is in Scorpio. Which means this is in the occult or mystic studies or something that is not considered mainstream in today's society.
Aha!
I love it. It's so me.
It's so you. It's very true.
Yes.
Very true. So kind of the way I'm seeing the nodes, just for like clarification, is that like the north node is like where you're going and the south node is where you've been.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. All right.
She describes it here as the north node is offsetting karma from your past or past lives. So that would be your south node. Or if you don't believe in past lives, she points out the north as overall life path and south as life path lesson. She says, north node in the ninth wants you to seek these ideas and opinions on your own and in solitude, which might not appeal to you. She says, if you're a people person, it's possible to find a balance between solitude and being a social butterfly.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh.
She knows me.
She knows. I'm shook by how different yours is from mine.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so that's my north, and then we go to my south node, which is in the sign of Taurus, house 3.
Right.
And here we have, being in Taurus, this indicates that you have grown a strong attachment to material belongings and values. This could reflect on a lifetime as getting stuck in relationships or other situations that have long passed their expiration date, or holding on to things that no longer serve you.
Oof.
Oof.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yep. She says, Taurus can be stubborn to move on, and this will be one of your greatest lessons in this lifetime, to know when something isn't serving you anymore and find the strength to move on from it or let it go. Right in the heart.
Oh, so it good. Got me. So good.
So, yeah. Just, and I know we're going to say this over and over again, but a woman who has never met me, knows nothing about me or my past or what I've been going through forever. And just to hit it on the fucking nail, like.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
She's good. I agree.
All right. What do you got into focus points?
Okay. So, started with the career house for me as well.
Right.
She says, I most likely need a career in which I can express my creativity.
Ooh. That's
correct.
Love that.
Likely someone who does a lot for the people you love. This placement can indicate you didn't have a lot of emotional support or understanding as a child. So learning to provide an emotional haven for yourself, you now extend it to others. Okay, this paragraph is where it gets real.
Okay.
With your natal midheaven in Cancer, you do well in careers that let you take initiative, and where you can make changes if you don't like the status quo.
Oh.
You prefer a calm work environment that isn't too rigid, with strong rules. You need to be able to flow how you like. You probably work better if you have enough time to retreat into yourself and bring it through your own filter. You need some solitude in your professional life. For those of you who don't know, I work as a seamstress, and the majority of my work is by myself. I choose my own schedule. I do all of that. Yeah.
And it's perfect for you.
It is so perfect. Then she says, Cancer is ruled by the moon and represents maternal power. Sometimes raising a family is your career, and that's what you're known for, whether you're a literal mother figure of children or for a community or group of friends. And the workplace, I am the person who cooks the lunch so that we can all sit at a table together and have a monthly lunch. Yes, I am the den mother of my workspace.
Yep.
Crazy, right?
Insane.
Okay. The nodes.
Nodes!
My north node, or my aspiring to.
Yes.
Is Aries house 7.
Ooh.
Your life lessons have to do with relationships and other people. This indicates that learning to lean into those you are in a relationship with will be a huge life lesson. You are urged by the universe to give in and learn to count on others and less on your individuality.
Ooh.
Wait, it gets better. With this placement, you are learning to trust your instincts, learning to stand up for yourself, and learning to be your own person.
Wow.
And then she says, this combination is a little contradictory. Which, as I was looking at it, I was like, it is, but for me, this makes total sense, because I don't trust my own instincts. I was raised in a place where we couldn't trust our own instincts.
Exactly.
But I also don't lean into my relationships with other people because I think I have to do everything myself. Like, that isn't contradictory when you're looking at me. Asks you to be more assertive in your relationships and have healthy conflict in your closest relationships to get your needs met. Also, another thing I struggle with and aspire to. Okay, South Node, which is my past, right? Where I've been. This one takes it all. Libra House 1. In the house of self, you likely struggled to exercise independence in a past life and never truly got to know yourself. This would imply you have tendencies to depend on others or always be searching for fulfillment through your relationships before finding fulfillment with yourself. In your past life, you identified fully by the relationship you were in or with your family.
Oh.
There was really no separation between your sense of self and those you loved. You were essentially a part of them.
Holy right? Shit!
Just gut punch. There is no better description for cult living than that sentence.
No. Oh my god.
Okay. In this lifetime, it is easiest for you to fall back into sacrificing self for the comfort of others you care about. It is up to you to find the balance between what you are comfortable with, based on your past, South Node, and how you can push yourself out of your comfort zone, North Node, in order to grow and live a more fulfilled life.
Wow.
I'm just shook, Kayla. I'm
holy shook, shit.
I know. So then I have a stellium in house 3.
Stellium.
And a stellium is where there are 3 or more placements in one house in your birth chart.
Yes.
So I have 4 planets in my 3rd house of communication, siblings, and intelligence. My 3rd house is ruled by Sagittarius. Okay?
Okay.
All right. 3rd house stelliums are all about communication. They have a message and they want to get it out to the world. They tend to be social beings or fascinated by writing, reading, storytelling, songwriting. In this house, much of the communication is going on between the individual and those he or she holds close. Brothers and sisters, as well as neighbors. Okay. She gives me this little bold paragraph. I don't know if this connects with you, but this is also giving me the idea that you could work with a sibling in some way. Maybe you even work with a sibling to communicate ideas and philosophies with your community. This could be a podcast with a sibling or teaching a class with a sibling. And I'm not just saying that because I did your sister's chart. Fucking hell, Kayla.
It's fucking amazing. I love it so much.
Okay.
Oh my god.
So that's my focus points.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Which, yeah, that's exactly what they are.
Yep.
My life in a nutshell.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
I was just looking through, because I have a stellium too, but she didn't go very much into it.
Okay.
But it does make me laugh because of what my name for this episode is, right?
Uh-huh.
Which is Pisces.
Oh, yes.
I have a stellium in Pisces.
Oh, of course you do.
Which, in mine, I have 4 placements in Pisces. 1 being my sun, 1 being my rising, and 2 others.
Oh, man. Okay. Bam.
Which means you probably identify heavily with the traits of Pisces. Yeah. Yeah.
Well said! Yes, indeed.
And then I also have a stellium in Capricorn.
You have 2 stelliums?
I have 2 stelliums with 3 placements in Capricorn, which 1 is my moon. And so, yeah, that's wow. A really interesting, at least from what I know about my little knowledge of astrology, really interesting one to me because it's a, like, heavily water and heavily earth.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And to me, those are very opposite. Things.
I don't know.
I feel like the traits are, but I don't know.
I like it. I think that's awesome. We will explore that some more in the coming episodes, I think.
Definitely, yep.
What all that means.
So, okay. So let's talk about this, right? My stellium's in Pisces. Okay. It says that I should, that I would probably identify more with the things of Pisces. And if we get into my nitty gritty, we can talk about Pisces. Pisces is the most mystical of all signs. Uh-huh. And quite possibly the most misunderstood.
Oh, really?
So she says that it's the last sign of the zodiac, and many believe that since Pisceans have lived through all of the signs, it makes them an amalgamation of all of the signs.
Okay.
This gives you a unique ability to empathize with almost anyone, and sometimes anything. Yep. You can change consistently depending on your environment and who you spend time with. Huh? So it's important for you to learn boundaries.
Kenna! Kenna!
Pisceans, because of their intense feeling, can get overwhelmed with their surroundings and need to turn it off from time to time. Mainstream media likes to call it escapism.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
And also, it's pretty cool because I have my sun in Pisces, and I also have my ascendant in Pisces.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty awesome. She says that this means that your soul experience and how you present yourself to the world are aligned. Because of this, you are predisposed to possess great leadership skills and confidence in who you are. This could mean you'd be a great spiritual leader or anything considered to be esoteric or mysterious.
Nice. Chaos is mysterious.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yes.
So that's my ascending and my sun sign. And then okay. There's tons in here. I don't think we need to go through all of them, but I do want to go through my moon sign real quick.
Okay.
Which is Capricorn. And she's given me both house 10 and house 11 for my moon in Capricorn. Okay. Because my moon is like straight at the end of house 10.
Oh, okay.
This is what I've usually seen as considered to be like a cusp kind of a thing, where you can pull traits from both.
Oh.
So it's kind of
cool.
Yeah. But I've never had my moon sign described this accurately to me before. We have, with the moon in Capricorn, you remain cool, calm, and collected when it comes to matters of emotion, though you might not feel that way on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is a tug of war between your strong Pisces placements and your Capricorn moon. You're deeply emotional person on a soul level, but when it comes to how you express it, it can be quite the opposite.
Huh.
Which really fucking resonated with me, because I, on the inside, I tend to feel like I'm being overly emotional, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, like, the feedback that I get from others is that I'm quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
With the way that I express myself. Mm-hmm. And that makes a whole lot of sense now.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, Kayla.
I know.
It's amazing.
So, with it being in my 10th house or my 11th house, 10th house indicates a requirement for recognition, popularity, and acknowledgement. It's also very likely that you're goal-oriented and have a soft side, can be very emotional when it comes to your personal connections.
Okay.
And right. In the 11th house, it directs to the need for emotional fulfillment, the desire to feel a sense of belongingness, and a desire to be in the friend's proximity. So there I am, just on a piece of fucking paper.
Christ. There it is.
I just don't even know what to do with that.
There's just so much here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is it my turn to go into the nitty-gritties?
It's your turn.
Okay. So my sun is in Aquarius, house 4.
Mm-hmm.
Your symbol is the water bearer, which represents an abundance of knowledge and inspiration being given to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
The areas of life the fourth house oversees include the ways in which you create a home for yourself. It looks at how important having a home base is for you. The fourth house is the security blanket of your natal chart. Which, I mean, I am an extreme homebody. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
You might need to have a wide social circle and the ability to entertain the public.
There's
also importance about how you are expressing your individuality in groups. Aquarians are natural activists. So that's my Aquarian highlights.
Mm-hmm.
My moon is in Taurus, house 8.
Ooh, Taurus moon.
Uh-huh. You are likely to manifest abundance, creativity, and sensual comfort in your life, because these are all things that are important to Taurus, and things that are important to your emotional safety. You are emotionally stable, and this usually indicates that you are a long-lasting and loyal partner.
Hmm.
You may even seek to be emotionally involved in others' psychological issues. Helping others wade through their own issues might bring you great comfort. Which I do think has been correct.
Yep.
About me.
I would have to agree with that.
My ascendant is in Libra, house 1. And again, some of these terms, I'm not entirely sure, like, what they mean. So we'll dig into those later.
Yes.
Because I'm just not well-versed. As a Libra rising, you like to appear sensible, reasonable, logical, and balanced. The symbol of Libra is the scale, so you prefer to be calm and harmonious in your emotions and judgments.
Yeah.
Correct.
Correct.
I love this. Ruled by Venus, Libras are attractive in their own unique ways and always put your best foot forward. You rarely lose your temper or raise your voice, and you are always unfailingly polite, but you are inclined to bouts of lethargy when the scales are out of balance.
Oh! Yeah. Interesting.
I see myself in this. I see it.
It's like looking at a mirror.
Your ruling planet Venus is in the objective and unemotional sign of Capricorn, suggesting that you seek new solutions and alternatives in order to create harmony and make the world a better place.
Oh, that's cool. I love it. And,
I don't know. Like you said, there's a lot more here we can save for later episodes.
Yeah.
It's just all the different houses and everything.
Yep. All the different planets.
There's so many details here that are just so cool.
So the last thing I have for mine.
Yes.
Is that I'm about to become a real adult.
A real adult.
That's what it says. Are we ready? I am in my first Saturn return. As of March 7th. Which means that Saturn entered Pisces again. And it will be there for 2 to 3 years. As a rite of passage into real adulthood for me.
Oh, wow.
Yep. It's not going to be fun.
So when does that happen?
It started on March 7th.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And is there an end to that?
Usually for 2 to 3 years.
Okay. So see, turning 30.
Yep.
You're not going to be stupid anymore.
It just reminds me of, who is it Taylor Tomlinson that does the one about how by the time you turn 30, everything's solidified?
I think so.
So you gotta work out what you can before then so it doesn't solidify.
Yes, true.
Yeah.
It's all still in motion.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Saturn return, yay for me.
Uh-huh. I love it. So my Saturn is in Sagittarius, which this one had a really interesting comment.
Okay.
In it. You prefer to work by your own rules, and you are not fond of merely following another's truth or belief. With religion or belief systems, there are two main expressions with this position. Either to follow a rigid belief system that you one day question, or to denounce organized systems altogether. Your faith may be tested frequently in your life.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
I know.
I didn't realize because my Saturn is in Pisces, like every fucking thing else in my chart.
So I named you correctly, calling you Pisces for this episode.
But I didn't realize that most people's Saturn is not in their, their sun sign. So yours is in Sagittarius.
It is.
Uh-huh. Mine is in Pisces.
Awesome.
And it says, being in Pisces is indicate of spending much of your life fearing having someone else in charge of your identity.
Oh.
So you work very hard to become very competent and independent. However, with age and wisdom, you would likely grow into willingly living for others in some way.
Oh,
and in house 12, it deals with religion, faith, and isolation.
Huh.
In some form or another, you will likely have experience in an institution that is separate from the world. Example, hospital, prison, church, etc.
In that order.
It will likely be through this experience that you learn your greatest lessons of Saturn. You will learn the deeper meanings of life and be challenged by Saturn to understand the bigger picture of life.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. My Venus is also in Pisces.
Your everything is in Pisces.
All Pisces.
Wait, what do I have in Pisces? I have Jupiter in Pisces.
Ooh, Jupiter. Uh-huh. I like that.
See, whether it's offering a shoulder to cry on, being a good listener, or giving heartfelt advice, you feel an obligation to help those who are in pain.
Aww.
This effort you put forth brings you great reward and fulfillment in return.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only... Oh, no, I have a Mercury in Pisces, too.
Oh, good.
I got a couple things in Pisces.
You do, you do.
Just nowhere near as many things as you do.
My Venus in Pisces says, deep and sensitive and often walked all over. Our world is seemingly too hard for the soft Pisces Venus. Your surroundings might be a little chaotic or messy at times, but there is no lack of love in your household.
Oh.
Your willingness to forgive and understand is a strength, and you know this. But you must learn where to draw strict boundaries in matters of the heart.
I like it.
And it's in my first house, so it says you are particularly impressive and possess a magnetic quality and are uniquely attractive physically and intellectually.
I like this. The Mercury in Pisces. Clairvoyance, mediums, and psychics often have this combination.
Ooh!
Interesting.
That's awesome.
All the intuitive channels are open.
Yep.
It says, Pisces is a water sign, and water is intuitive. Mercury is the opposite. It is logical and clear-headed. Immerse it in water, and it's like dunking a biscuit in hot liquid. It disintegrates.
I love that. Disintegrates.
Roxanne has great writing skills.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, so she provided us on the back with, like, the house placements and, mm-hmm. like, resources and stuff so that we can do further digging.
Yes.
Which I do think we should do.
We definitely should. Do you have any conjunctions?
I have a conjunction of Venus.
Okay.
And Uranus.
Oh. That's the only one?
Mm-hmm.
I have four.
You have more? You have four conjunctions? Goodness.
I have, let's explain. So it says, conjunctions are when two planets are so close together that their energies combine.
Uh-huh.
You're gonna laugh at this. My conjunctions are Sun in Pisces conjunct my Ascendant in Pisces.
Oh.
My Mars in Pisces conjunct my Saturn in Pisces. My Saturn in Pisces conjunct my Ascendant in Pisces. And my Uranus in Capricorn conjunct my Neptune in Capricorn.
Goodness, Kayla.
Woo!
I just have this visual of, like, when you melt the crayons together. Like, all the Pisces! They're all Pisces now.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Kayla took all the heavenly things and just turned them into Pisces.
All Pisces. I have a very lopsided chart when you look at it. It's all on one fucking
all
side.
All on one side, yep. Yeah.
So that's fun.
Mine is all on pretty much one half.
Yeah. Pretty
awesome,
much
though.
Everything is either in my first or my 12th house.
Yeah. Just stack the deck.
Yep, all right in there.
You're going to be a superhero. It has to be a watery one.
I am you are Aquaman! I'm okay with that.
Okay.
All right. That was our charts.
That was our charts.
First look.
Yeah. So we will, like I said, we will put in the show notes how you can get in touch with Roxanne if you want to have your own readings done.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend. She is obviously fantastic at it.
Mm-hmm. I love to.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention it here. She gives you your next steps.
Yes.
Right? Which is like, what to do with this knowledge that you've recently learned about yourself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And one for mine that I really love that she's offered me for what to do is to carve out any time, any amount of time in your schedule for solitude to journal, meditate, or study and stick to it.
Yes. Yep.
And to enroll in an online class or buy a book in a subject that intrigues you to furthering something you have already started or studying or start completely new. So that was my sign to get on the fucking shamanism class.
Yes, that's right.
A little bit
move
better.
Forward.
Yeah.
Move forward.
Exactly.
On my next steps, she says, reach out to any local organizations that work with communities you care about. Even if you don't have much time, there are usually ways they can use your expertise and knowledge.
Oh.
I mean, I just went to a board meeting for the Alliance this week.
Yep, you did.
So, on that already. And then my last one was, talk to a close sibling. That you have something in common with about starting a co-curated blog or podcast.
Done.
So we can check that one off as well.
Or we could talk about it. Chandra, how would you feel about starting a podcast?
I suppose. It's a lot of work.
I don't know if we have time.
What will we talk about? We'll run out of things.
Oh, I love it.
Yep. I know, me too. So amazing. I'm living for this experience. And yes. It's so unexpected in all the ways. So yes. Thank you, Roxanne.
Exactly.
All right. If you want to reach out and let us know about your own birth chart experiences, Our email address is sistermagicpod@gmail.com.
That's the one. If anybody has any more Pisces placements than me, please tell me. I'd love to know how you're getting through life.
We're just curious if Kayla is like the top Pisces that you can be, or if someone has surpassed her. We really need to know.
We do. For science. You can also reach out to us on Instagram or Twitter at Sister Magic Pod, where we may post things that have to do with our charts. I don't know.
We may.
If we feel
I like probably
it.
Will put up a picture of the chart or something. Yeah. For reference.
Exactly.
If you this are listening to this and like. You want to reference, yes. I will do that.
Yes. All right.
Alrighty.
This has been Sister Magic.
Now go read a book.
Or a chart. Or...